good to us.
Amen.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Well, I tell you what, the nervous one never seems to stop. The Father is so good to us, and there's so much great word that has gone forth, and so many great things that were being established, and so it's been quite a week, and so wonderful of the topics that's gone forth. I know Brother Chad touched greatly on dealing with darkness and going into the marvelous light of the Father, making sure that we constantly are checking ourselves and understanding what it is that our assignment is, as Pastor was led to really draw an emphasis on for us last Shabbat. And last minute, the Father's good. Because when I say nervous, and I mean, like, it sounded like I had five, probably six different radio stations playing at the same time throughout the day. But he's the one that calms. He's the one that you just have to trust. Because we all have assignments. And we all want to make sure that we please the Father.
Yes.
You know, that's our goal. As His children, as those that have been adopted. And what was incredible was, like, some great reflection took place Bible Study Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it was such a beautiful and well-needed thing. And I'm so thankful that the Father cares for us, and that we have people that genuinely care for us, that listen closely to the Father. And I'm being respectful to Him and those in my life that listen to Him. And I want to go back over question A real quick whenever we get started. And that's one of those that we got to share. And because I actually had two answers to question A, and I read one of them. But it was questions for reflection, a practical application. And it says, oh, I'm going to wait. There we go. It says, have you ever had to wait longer than you expected for Elohim to bring a breakthrough into your life? What did Elohim do in your heart during that time? And you know, what's beautiful about that, in the waiting for the breakthrough, in the process of our assignments and enduring what we have, He's molding us and creating us into His character. In the same way we get to read in the patriarchs and the matriarchs and all these wonderful people that we have, and a portion of the scriptures that's usually just overlooked or discarded completely. But we get to relate to them, be able to understand that there's a process and each and every one of our assignments. But my answer was yes. I had two answers. The other one was yes, for my calling, for the assignment. And it taught me patience, and that I need to allow His timing in my life than to trust on my own. There's so many times that we want things as soon as possible. And it might be the season that we're going through. It might be the different things that we may be dealing with in those moments. But the beautiful thing is, through us enduring the patience, we learn patience, or we should. And through us trusting His timing should increase our faith. But I wanted to rebring that up. Question A, have you ever had to wait longer than you expected for Elohim to bring a breakthrough into your life? And what did Elohim do in your heart during that time? Because we all have different things that we need to endure, to allow to excrete. Because we know Yatzah, and its wonderful ancient paleo imagery, is someone getting into position and excrement, letting go of something that He doesn't want you to have or hold on to. And we know that a lot of times attitudes can have smell with it. There's just different things in the waiting that He's trying to allow us to endure. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, last Shabbat, what really, really hit me, about assignments came from the fact that Genesis 41, 46, whenever it mentioned, now Yosef was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, sovereign of Mishraim, and Yosef went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Mishraim. Of course, we're looking for parallels in Scripture. We're looking for the different plugins. When I hear 30 years old, my mind instantly always goes to Numbers 4. And then, obviously, the other we know is Yeshua beginning his ministry at 30 years old. But it was interestingly enough, whenever he gives that little ping on the radar, it's up to us to go look at it, to see what's in there and what he really wants to grasp from it. Because I was left with a question of my own, is how do we handle our burdens? Because it says a lot, because we're going to have them. We're meant to have them. And we're going to see more of that in Numbers 4. But we know that Yosef went through all that burdensome time to prepare him for what it is that the Father was going to have him walk out, what he had in store for him, so that way he can be that beacon of light to those that he needed to be able to reach, in the same way that he's doing it for us. And we know that Yosef's burden doesn't end, even though he got his assignment, he got his position. Now he has to make sure that he continues in that. Because the reality is, like I said, my answer for question A was yes for my calling, the assignment. It taught me patience and that I need to allow his timing in my life to trust, to rather than to trust in my own. Thank you. Because I remember when I was getting brought up in this walk, starting to get more involved in church, starting to, because it came naturally. It started to come naturally because as I would show up and these things were being excreted off of me, because I went out from my wicked ways. I went out. I moved out of that direction. In the same way that each and every one of us has gone in a direction that's opposite other than what was comfortable. And that's the reality of it, because it makes you think about Abraham. He had to get up and out of his family's household. He had to get up and out of what was familiar and comfortable. And time again, we see that throughout the entirety of Scripture. And through that willingness in my own journey, I remember my first Bible study when we had it in here. Most of the seats were sitting right there. And then everybody they can come up, grab the microphone and stand before everyone, read the Scripture, and then if right then and there to share, or just go resume your seat and the next person would come up. And I really enjoyed the reading part because I was too nervous for a long time to say anything because I felt like I didn't know much of anything on my own. But as time would go on, I slowly noticed that I really had something stirring up in me to get involved. And I would listen. It's like Brother Rob. Y'all remember me when I was extra, extra quiet. I was extra, extra listening. And I heard that somebody needed help on the computer. I was like, I could do that. Don't get me wrong, I could cut grass. I could do these things. But I got a track record with computers. I know a little bit. Didn't know much about Apple. But I learned. Got comfortable with change. And that's part of the process of us receiving assignments and then realizing that there's change taking place and it makes you uncomfortable. Especially the very first time you accidentally see every single service for the past so many years disappear. You want to talk about excrement? I was like, what did I do? I'm trying to help. And you know, I wanted to respond in the natural way, the flesh first, because like it was says Wednesday, let's be real, there's a way that we want to respond first. And mine was just like, take it, throw it. But that's what happened. I was like, oh, you gonna learn how to pray. And I was sweating and praying. I'm so thankful for Sister Randy. Because she knew how to get up there and get through all that. And then the beautiful part, the first time that it happened, a genuine miracle happened, we both rejoiced because it just, on its own, came back. Gave that all to the Father. But the principle behind that is change takes place during assignments. So how do we handle the burdens? Because we all have burdens. And I can't help myself because it's very current and it's not like it's hidden information, but I'm going to give the next change that could be. I'm saying could be. Because like I said on the phone, when I was speaking with Pastor earlier, it's not set in stone until the signature's on a paper. But today, this is, I guess you can call your Plaquemines Parish update on decisions being made, to try and better, because that's where the direction is coming from, to try and better. But we had a meeting today speaking about how potentially they are going to be getting a third party or a private third, well, naturally it would be private, but a third party to do the garbage routes, to take financial pressure and manual labor pressure off so that way we can focus on getting everything else cleaned up. So that way we can make sure the areas that were meant to be operable can be fully operable and fully functional, and to make sure that we can catch up genuinely with the mounds of trash that's on the side of the roads is how it was pertained to us. But as I sat back and listened, because I'm very slow to speak, quick to listen, because I don't want to just hurry up and jump the gun, because I'll let the others do that, because they were ready. And they were like, well, what's going to happen with this? What about our jobs? What about this? And then I did ask the question, was it considered on what was going to happen with the employees? Like, what's going on with that? But they've already made what they said, a provision for us to just go and take care of everything else, and the garbage routes would be taken care of by a third party. And it will reduce the prices of the service for everyone else. Now, is this written on stone? Maybe. Is there a signature? No, from what I heard. But I noticed that there was a contrast on handling change, or even the news of potential change. Some worried immediately. Some instantly, naturally wanted to gravitate towards worst case scenario possible. And then some were like, well, hot dog, like that's less pressure on us and we can get stuff done. And when you measure that out within yourself in any situation, my first natural thought was, oh man, they're gonna really save some money when they start slashing prices, whenever they start, hey, let's lead a budget increase by, we can get this one, and this one out. That was natural. That was never said. That was never implied. But then spiritual was just like, listen, slow down, and trust the process. Because it's not always about the individual. And that's the beautiful thing about Yosef's life. He got to be that vessel for the Father that had to go through, in no other words, a hell of a process to be able to be that vessel for the Father for others. And the beautiful thing is he's doing that in each and every one of our lives. He wants us to be that vessel for others, that voice of reason, to cast out fear. I know in Scripture it says, the strong must bear the infirmities of the weak. And that's in the notes, and we'll break that down. But it's not in the sense of looking lesser on anybody, because the reality is each and every one of us as individuals are burdened with some kind of weakness. That the beautiful thing of us coming here collectively is that we can rely on one another's strength to build one another up. And that's the beauty of that scripture. But, oh, I tell you, it's crazy sometimes going into the services because, like I said, all radios are on, but we're dialed in. And the Father's good to us. But let's go ahead and start getting into this. But that is that practical focus of how do we handle the chains once we receive what it is, the assignment is, so that way we walk properly in the burdens. And to know what burdens is, we have to look at what the Father says about it. Because Yosef definitely has his hands full. And I'm going to go ahead, before we get into Numbers, let's read part of what his burden is, 47 to 49 of Genesis 41. And it says, "And in the 7 years of plenty, the ground brought forth generously, and he gathered all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Mishraim, and laid up food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Thus Yosef gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he ceased counting, for it was without number." Now, I'm being reminded of it, but imagine being in Yosef's position of, respectably, how Pastor said, he didn't ask for a government job, but he got it. And he was going to walk it out. I mean, how many of us would like to volunteer to be the person that, you know, gets to be the one that shares the news? You're getting taxed more on your grain. You need to give more grain. Not everybody's going to be like, all right, you're going to have to deal with some stuff. You know, and respectably, I don't know too much, not much about, let's just say, our parish president, for example. I'll use him for example. Or the director, because there's things that share with me, because at the end of the day, people are people, and they deal with things that are on the other side of a perspective, and we don't know the fullness of that perspective. So then you go to take action, you make a decision, some will be on board, some won't. But over time, how much can you handle the criticism? Or how much can you handle how, no matter how much I do to try and do right, it seems into most people's eyes I'm still doing wrong. But then you just, the beauty of it is, you have a relationship with the Father, and you trust him, you don't genuinely have to lose sleep over constantly feeling like you're pleasing everyone else. But you have sound understanding that you can walk in, but if you don't have that, then it's a headache that nobody wants. But let's get deeper into this of burdens. Now, as I said earlier, whenever it came to the 30 years of age, I was reminded of the Kohelites, duty and burden, and the priesthood and service to Moshe, to Moshe, Aharon, and his sons, the high priest. Well, let's go to Numbers chapter 4. It's going to start from verse 1. We're going to make our way to 15. I was tempted to read the whole chapter, but it's a lot of minute details that if we're led to go to, we can, but respectively, it's going to be half of it. And it says, "And Jehovah spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, saying, take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the children of Levi, by their clans, by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tent of appointment. This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tent of appointment, the most set apart matters. At the breaking of camp, Aharon and his sons shall come, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the witness with it, and shall put on it a covering of fine leather, spread over that an all blue wrapper, and shall insert its poles. And on the tables of showbread they shall spread the blue wrapper, and shall put it on the dishes, and the ladles, and the bowls, and the jars for pouring, and the showbread on it. And they shall spread over them a scarlet wrapper, and cover the same with a covering of fine leather, and shall insert its poles, and shall take a blue wrapper, and cover the lampstand of the light, with its lamps and the snuffers, its trays, and all oil vessels by which they serve it. And they shall put it with all its utensils in the covering of fine leather, and put it on a bar. And over the golden slaughter place they shall spread blue wrapper, and cover it with a covering of fine leather, and shall insert its poles, and shall take all the utensils of service with which they serve in the set-apart place, and put them in a blue wrapper, cover them with covering of fine leather, and put them on a bar. And shall remove ashes from the slaughter place, and spread a purple wrapper over it, and shall put it on the utensils by which they serve there, the fire holders, the forks, the shovels, and the basins, and all the utensils of the slaughter place, and shall spread it on the covering of fine leather, on it a covering of fine leather, and insert its poles. And here's a key verse. And yes, I could have just went straight to verse 15. But the reason I went through all that is so that we can hear the extent of their burden. And that's a lot of the reality of our situations when we're walking in the assignments. There's a genuine extent that the Father has greatly detailed in our life to be able to walk out. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering, verse 15, the set-apart objects and all of the furnishings of the set-apart place at the breaking of camp, then the sons of Kohath shall come, lift them, but let them not touch that which is set apart, lest they die. These matters are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tent of appointment. Now, naturally, when we hear the word burden, we have such, in the English, a negative connotation towards it. Every time we hear it, we instantly just think we want nothing to do with it. But the reality is, it's the very thing in the Father's eyes that He puts in our life to develop our character, to prepare us for our assignment, to keep pushing towards it, to get comfortable with the hand. But let's look at this word burden. For those taking notes, it's H4853. And it's Massa. It means a burden, specifically tribute, or abstractually porterage. Now, porterage is not in my daily vocabulary, so I had to look it up. A porterage is the work of carrying luggage, supplies, or other materials done by porters or laborers. And tribute is an act, statement, or gift that is intended to show gratitude, respect, or admiration. And the Father really had me meditate upon that, and I had to reflect and realize there were some areas in my life that I wasn't showing enough gratitude, respect, and admiration. Because it's genuinely up to us if we want to go back to past burdens or continue in burdens that really has, He wants us to respectfully excrement, to get rid of, and carry on with the ones that He has for us in gratitude, respect, and admiration. So I thought that was an interesting contrast on the reality of walking in burdens, because it could be something that develops within us the ability to be grateful for what it is in our life, that what we may be going through. And it might not make sense, but whenever it said that I counted all joy onto me whenever I endure hardship, and that was that was my best in remembering it. But the Father wants us in a position to realize that no matter what we're going through, He's trying to uplift us in the process. Because in the ancient Hebrew, it's the Nun and the Samech. Mm-hmm. And it says to lift, that it's action description. The concrete is a standard. And the abstract is refuge. So quite frankly, within the burdens that he puts in our life, he's trying to lift us, set a standard, and provide a place of refuge within the burdens in our life. Because that's the things being described within the word. And it almost seems like a crazy thing to wrap, at least my mind around. Because naturally you think, well, if I'm doing good, I'm doing right, then I should be all right. Or it's not fair. But in reality, he's setting the pace because it's about patience and timing that the Father is putting us through. Because the other half of my answer for question A was the fact that for 2 years, I was burdened with not knowing every single day for sure if I was going to have income to provide for my household. Because I was doing everything that I could to keep Shabbat. I didn't go around, oh, poor me. I didn't go around, I was told things like, a real man's supposed to provide for his household. A real man's supposed to do this. Well, let me rephrase that. I was indirectly told those things, usually by third parties, fourth parties, so on and so forth, which kind of always feels, for some reason, worse. But you move past that and you keep trusting the process. For 2 years, he showed me through my burdens and increased my faith. I was able to provide through pastor. I was able to meet people that I've never met before. I met a lot of boat captains down here, and I provided services that I had to go to the University of YouTube. I had to get real uncomfortable. That was changes. This dude right here was used to Walmart jobs. This dude right here was used to being a manager at a pharmacy at a casino resort in Connecticut. This dude right here had to learn real quick in a hurry what it's like looking for the right canes, bundling up canes, getting used to really early hours and really cold temperatures, fixing drywall when I had no idea how even drywall worked. I didn't know it was even in sections. Pressure washing boats, cleaning fish. You want to talk about change and burden? Well, then, on top of that, making sure that I didn't flesh out and decide, man, this is too much. Is this what it means to walk in the Spirit? And then decide, oh, I'm going to go back to Walmart. I'm going to go back to, something casual, easy, and that's no knock on retail services. But I'm thankful to not be in it. So the beautiful thing is, it's through the process. It's through the burdens. And he'll add on to you to keep molding your character. Because even the idea of me being up here and speaking still feels like what is going on. But I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the process. I'm thankful for the humble beginnings. I'm thankful for the growth. I'm thankful for the ability to be able to share in hopes that it's reaching someone to help them in their situation. Because the gift of giving, it's genuinely one of the best things I've ever felt. And I used to be a very selfish person. Still struggle with self. That's, I'm sure all of us do. But he wants us to excrete that. He wants that out of us. And it's through the process of bearing burdens. And a description that we're given here in the ancient Hebrew of the Nun and the Samech is when we combine these, it means continue to grab hold. Continue to hold on. Just continue to hold on and trust the process. Because there's many a times where we could easily just step away, where we could easily just give up. But he wants us to continue to hold on through the burdens. And also, it says the tribal flag that is hung from a horizontal pole and lifted high and seen from the distance. Now, I was reminded of who was put on display for us. We should be able to see it from that distance, wherever we may be. And it's going to be probably within the burden. And we have to be reminded continually to hold on. Amen. To hold on to him. And trust the process that he has for our life. Because like I said in the beginning of the service about the nervousness, there's a lot of times where that opposition tries to shoot those fiery darts and tries to leave some kind of wiggle room. You got maybe about 10 excuses, or you feel like it's not good enough, you feel like it's this, you feel like it's that, because I'm going to just express those thoughts and put it out there. Because he's right before you go to do especially something for the Father. Mm-hmm. That comes. Yeah. But that's part of the process. Because mm-hmm. that was also something that we looked at. That was question B about Isaiah 45:7. I'm going to go ahead and pull that up so I can. It's better, especially for Brother Rob right now, to read it directly. Because that last quote, I don't know what happened. But forming light and creating darkness, making peace and creating evil. I, Yehovah, do all these. I think for that. The average churchgoer that may or may not read too much or want to get too familiar would have trouble with receiving information like that. Because the reality is the Father puts those obstacles in our lives to find out what's in our heart. That's the whole Deuteronomy 8 message right there. The whole reason that we're going through everything in this wilderness that we're in is because that we have things that we got to deal with in this life to find out what's going on in our heart. To make sure that we truly are gravitating towards him for the right reasons. So on the topic of burdens, after I took some time to meditate upon that, I was reminded about bearing one another's burdens. Because that's the beauty of us coming together collectively. Because I want to thank the Father. What had took place last Shabbat, Wednesday, there's healing that's happening. Hallelujah. There's healing that's happening. Mm-hmm. It makes me happy. Thank you. Because it might not seem like people are bearing your burdens, but they are. And they get on their knees and they start praying because you care about people. Because each and every one of us has ministered to one another. And I hold on to that. Because unfortunately, people can easily, very easily hold on to the bitterness. We know that Joseph had a bitter uncle, Esau. He allowed a root of bitterness to take him away. But that's genuinely up to us. So let's make our way to Galatians chapter 6. The Father's so good. Because mind you, just like he had to get Joseph right to deal with his brothers, to remove the root of bitterness, because we're talking about his uncle. The reason I said it that way is because it's a reminder of how close in a generational gap that he could have easily just latched on to something that ran lividly in his family. But instead, he was gentle and soft to the voice of Elohim, so that way he could be prepared whenever in dealing with his brothers. And the Father wants us to have that same approach with one another. And this is how I was reminded of it in Galatians chapter 6. Brothers, if a man is overtaken in some trespass, we'll pause on that for a moment. Because the beautiful thing about today, so I was supposed to go to Slidell and pick up the extra garbage truck. So that's why I wasn't on my normal route. Oh, the weather being the way that it was and the meetings that took place and the time that took from them, I was standby inside the shop with me and another coworker. And it was a whole lot of talking. Thankfully, they really enjoy other languages. So whenever we got on the topic of how to operate amongst one another, because it's very easy, especially at the workplace, to get real aggravated. Or you know what, let me rephrase that, anywhere with one another. Because sometimes we could be very easily irritable. It could be by a look, it could be by how we approach one another, or how we distribute what we think is respect. How we carry ourselves really matters to the Father. That's why that banner is real important. How we continue to hold on to the image that he has for us is very important. But we started reflecting on how there's a saying, man, the boss man likes you, you never get fussed at. You never get told nothing wrong even when you do something wrong. So on and so forth. That's because I use the approach of the Father. I don't tell the boss man how to do his job. I don't step on the boss man's toes. The boss man says, this is what I need done, get it done. Yes, sir. You get it done. You respect that man because of the authority that he's in. Yeah, well, what about, I'm not going to judge him. We all have our flaws. I said, we got to know when not to cross the line. What does trespass mean? Don't cross the line. And that's what we had talked about. And I said, I even got the Greek down, but I'm not going to, you know. He goes, no. I'm trying to learn 5 different languages right now. I'm like, what? 5 different languages? I'm having fun with the 2. He told me Arabic, Japanese, and the other 3. And he really draws an interest in the Hebrew, so we talk about that. But I brought up the Greek. And so the Greek for trespass, as we talked about, is paraptuma. He's like, man, that sounds cool. I was like, man, it might sound wrong. This Greek is hard to pronounce. But it says to sideslip, a lapse in deviation that is unintentional, error, or willful transgression. And then instantly it comes to my mind, when we be tripping. I don't know why it came out that way. But we got to make sure that we're not slide-stepping onto one another and to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Now, I'm going to have to say that one's from Brother Flem over there at COI. So, because he had a whole message about that, making sure that we observe ourselves before we project anything onto anyone else, even if they may have been the one that trespassed against you. So that's what's being said here. And I use that example to let him know that's an approach that I use with people at work. I've been told stuff, vulgar stuff, been called stuff. Okay, like, I get it. It's inappropriate. But you don't let that compromise the line that the Father has you standing behind. You ain't going to win nobody over if you overstep in that line. There's no way that Yosef would have been able to step into what he had called for his assignment if he continues to step over that line of trespass. But to point out its root, which is G3, 8, 9:5. That's para op ipto. Iptu. Para op ipto. And it's to fall aside. That is, figuratively, to apostatize. That was something that was brought up. Because the reality is, if we're not willing to move on to perfection, then we're at danger of falling into apostasy, because we stay and hang out in one area and never really get to the perfecting part of the word, which is understanding the Torah and being able to walk it through and be able to actually hold on whenever we need to. But it says, back to the verse, as we took a zooming in of trespass. But brothers, if a man is overtaken in some trespass, or when they cross the line, you, the what? The spiritual ones. Set such a one straight in the spirit of meekness. Well, wait, what do you mean set straight? You mean that we can correct one another? In the spirit of meekness. Because approach is everything. Because if you really genuinely, truly love somebody, and you see something that they might be doing is not at their full potential, you bring it to their attention, you help them get to that potential. Or the other route is, man, you to party 1, 2, 3, they just don't get it. They just, ugh. And it happens, I'm going to be honest, it happens to all of us. But the beautiful thing is that we get an opportunity to be able to help set things straight in the spirit of meekness. Because I'm thankful for any time that anyone brings correction to me to help me reflect. It's just the name calling that gets me a little confused. Looking at yourself, lest you be tried to. So check yourself before you wreck yourself. But it says, bear one another's burdens, and so complete the Torah of Messiah. As baros is the Greek for burdens. And that's 9:2:2. It's going down, weight, figuratively a load, abundance, authority. Heaviness, weight, burden, trouble. And interestingly enough, we're reflecting upon weight, and the Hebrew also reflects upon a potterage, which is the carrying of luggage. So I told the gentleman at work, I said, when you think about it, where does the term, man, you carrying a lot of baggage with you, come from? You burden down with things. So there's a Father that has created us that wants us to be able to walk with Him so that He can remove the unnecessary, give us the necessary, because He chastises those that He loves, so that way He could see us better off in the long run for whatever it is our assignment may be. Because whatever situation you may be, might feel like a dunghill, He wants to exalt you out of that. And that is in the questions of for reflection, but if you haven't got to look into that part yet, it's all wonderful. Let's continue on this. For if, like I told the guy, where I know I keep pausing, but I can't help it because it keeps coming back to me. But like at the guy at work, I said, this verse 3 is like a right hook verse, because it really should hit you at home and give you a good reality check. But it says, for if anyone thinks himself to be somebody when he is not, he deceives himself. And I never want to be in that position. You know, you think about everything that the Father put Yosef through. He had to get him in a position to where he wasn't going to think highly of himself in a way that it was going to ultimately lead to his deception. But let's continue, because I'm digressing too much, I believe. But let each one examine his own work, and then he shall have boasting in himself alone, and not in the other. For each one shall bear his own burden, and let him who is instructed and who in the word Let him who is instructed in the word share in all that is good with him who is instructing. Do not be led astray. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Because he who sows to his own flesh shall reap corruption from the flesh, but he who sows to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life from the Spirit. And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, as we have occasion, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of belief. Because I'm sure each and every one of us here has some type of luggage that we may be dealing with. And here is a place of healing and being able to take that burden off of one another. So we should never be in a position of adding burden onto one another. And that's something that I really try and focus on 100%. I may not be the best speaker. I may not be the best captivator. I may not be the best, but that's not necessarily my prime focus. If I can come here and give my genuine best to love and to fellowship and help be a part of the process and whatever that may be, then I'll hold on to that and walk in that. But let's remind ourselves what the Master said about burdens. Matthew 11, 25 through 30. At that time, Yeshua responding, said, I thank you, Father, Master of the heavens and the earth, because you have hidden these matters from the clever and learned ones and have revealed them to babes. Yes, Father, because it was well pleasing in your sight. All have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I shall give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your beings. For my yoke is gentle and my burden is light. And that's the beauty of this walk and continuing in it. And being able to realize that no matter what it is that may be happening, we got to stay on track with the assignment. Because there's things that the Father has in store that were promised. And I keep thinking about the dreams. All of them. And in all honesty, He wants us in a position to where when it's time to completely strike that, we're going to be already in that position, just like Yosef, prepared, ready, and able to minister to people. Because that's what I was also reminded of in the topic of assignments, of the fivefold ministry and the purpose of it. It's that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So we're going to read from 11 to 16. And it says, and he himself gave some as emissaries, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the set apart ones, for the perfecting of the saints, to the work of service, to a building up of the body of Messiah, until we all came through the unity of the belief and the knowledge of the Son of Elohim to a perfect man, to the measure of stature and of the completeness of Messiah, so that we should no longer be children in the sense of tossed and borne about every wind of teaching by trickery of men and the cleverness unto the craftiness of leading astray, but maintaining the truth and love, we grow up in all respects into him who is the head, Messiah, from whom the entire body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the working by which each part does its shares, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So with that in mind, I don't know for what reason, this is what the imagery came to. I'm not going to do it, but I think the environment of the room would change significantly if I grabbed this hammer, and as I was talking to y'all, I just decided to right on my foot, and then just continue on like nothing happened. That's the imagery that came to mind, and the result of that imagery was they would think you're absolutely crazy, respectably. The beautiful thing is, the reason I got that imagery for the fivefold ministry, we have, remember when we were talking about the fingers of Elohim and the hand, the five fingers, and then we're talking about holding on, because collectively and respectively, we need each and every one of us to be able to hold on properly whenever we're dealing with burdens. So anytime we find ourselves getting close to being like, you're going to end up feeling the same pain that you distribute. And that's the beautiful thing about the process that the Father has for us, is He continually getting us a position to where we don't do that. Because what if Yosef wasn't right and his brothers came along? We'll look at it in that perspective. Then that opportunity for whatever it is that the Father was doing is set back, because He ain't going to fail at what He's doing. We just got to decide if we're going to be properly part of that process. And that's the beautiful thing of uplifting and upholding one another in this walk. Now, that was all the way at the end of my notes, but that's something that I was thankfully reminded of last minute. So I found this interesting. I wanted to share with y'all. One of the main words that we were given last Shabbat was Yatzah. And of course, it deals with issue and excrement. You know, He wants us to get rid of the issues, the excretum. So whenever I was studying throughout the week, spending time with the Father, I was reminded to look at the Zadi and the Aleph. And normally it doesn't come across my radar, but the Gematria did. And so the numerical value of Yatzah is 90 and 1, so 91. Now mind you, this is further along in the week after Numbers 4, after Burden, after everything else. And when I plug that into the calculator, it equaled arc. And then it instantly reminded me of that purpose. The Father uses these physical imageries, and the purpose of the duties and the burdens of the priesthood and bearing that ark, and the process of what it took to take place for that, and seeing that Yatzah, to go and to shoot forth, sin with commandment. We can see that it's a beautiful imagery that the Father gives us in respect to whenever we have to bear that ark. We have to bear its purpose and its witness that He has had for us. And the matter of the fact that He wrote with the stone tablets with His finger, and that we're able to take that and bear witness with it and be able to walk it out, to hold on to it. Because imagine the amount of strength and unity they had to take and being able to continue to hold on. Because there was consequences if it was disrespected in any kind of way. And just like in our life, we have to bear an reproach or consequences. Now, He is graceful. He's merciful. We still have breath in our lungs. But there's things that we're going to have to go through in consequence of things. But thankfully, the Father puts us in a position to where, through that process, He's allowing us to be able to bear the responsibility that comes with carrying that ark. So this was the next area of scripture that I was led to. And it's Romans 15. Because we spoke about this earlier, bearing the infirmities of the weak and what that means. Because in relation to darkness, as it was pointed out Friday, it can sound like awful or I fail. And respectively, we're all going to have shortcomings in some kind of way. But how we conduct one another in that process is very important to the Father. And I know this may seem redundant, repetitive, and continuous, but I'm just going to give it in the way that it was revealed. And that's me dealing with those thoughts. But we, who are strong, ought to bear with the failings of the weak. So that means we, who are strong, ought to bear the moments others may be experiencing some kind of darkness in their life. And not to please ourselves. It's not out of a sense of savior mentality. We all know that we all have one savior. But it's in the respect of the process. And failings is G771, and that's asthema, a scruple of conscience. So of course, once again, there was a word being used that is not in my everyday vocabulary, because I thought it was almost a medical tool, scruple. I think that's scalpel. A feeling of doubt or hesitation with regard to the morality or propriety of a course of action. There's going to be times where we experience doubt. There's going to be times where we just get set back. How we handle that with one another is very important to the process. And in respect, that's ultimately something that the Father wants us to look at. But it says, and we continue in Romans 15, let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even the Messiah did not please himself, but as it has been written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell upon me. For whatever was written before was written for our instruction, that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have the expectation. And the Elohim of endurance and encouragement give you to be of the same mind toward one another, according to Messiah Yeshua, that with one mind and one mouth, you might praise the Elohim and the Father of your master, Yeshua Messiah. So accept one another, as Messiah also did accept us, to the esteem of Elohim. And that was there also in reflection to the fact that Yosef was now in that position to where he can be used mightily, because the next thing on his horizon, after dealing with the 7 years of increase, because there is a time frame that he's experiencing before his brothers even show up, even though it's right there in the next chapter, that the realization is, 7 years of increase, or when things are going good, we also got to make sure that we don't forget our position with the Father. Because there's been plenty of times where whenever it seems like everything's so nice and smooth, it just seems a little bit easier to kind of just lax. But we always got to be mindful of that, so that way our conductivity is right. So, towards the closing of this, I wanted to share from the slides, because I recently was praying and I was reminded to go take a look in regards to where we're at currently. So if you have your slides with you, let's go to slide 222, and that's where we'll start. Because I thought there was something very neat and congruent about the process of what we're looking at, the responsibilities and burdens of the priesthood, because that's also mentioned here in our slides. And this is something that I went look at today. Something that was mentioned about the fact that there's a lot of time and effort that has been put into these slides. And it's been a wonderful and amazing building tool throughout these years that we've been able to use them. And there was a process that's been noticed about it. Now we're able to really know how to go into the text and apply ourselves to it. Because that's something else that I was reminded of recently. Because I remember when I first started reading the text, I was trying to make the best sense of it that I could. That's why you have somewhere to go, where there's a teacher and a preacher to show you these things. But as I was being reminded of that, it reminded me to go and re-scrub and reread through this area. But we can move to 225 because we did read the script already. We'll go to 225 for the time. But it says, during the first 7 years of plenty, Mishreim flourished greatly and Yosef gathered much grain, so much so that it could not be counted. It was during this time. So in verse 47, the 7 years of plenty brought forth generously. And the Hebrew word used here for generously, kametz, it means abundantly, closed hand, fistful. It almost has the same imagery as holding on. And what is interesting to take note, that is the word only used three other verses in Scripture in reference to remembrance portion, that the priest would take in his hand the grain offerings. So we're given these three scriptures, that's what we're going to look at. The Leviticus 2, 1 through 2, it says, and anyone who brings a grain offering to Jehovah, his offering is to be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it, and he shall bring it to the sons of Aaron, the priests. He shall take it with his hand filled with fine flour and oil with all the frankincense, and the priest shall burn it as a remembrance portion on the slaughter place, an offering made by fire. And 5:12, and shall bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his hand filled with the remembrance portion, burn it on the slaughter place according to the offerings made by fire to Jehovah. It is a sin offering. Leviticus 6:14-15, and this is the Torah of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall bring it near before Jehovah in front of the slaughter place, and shall take from it with his hand from the fine flour of the grain offering and from its oil and all the frankincense which is on the grain offering, and shall burn it on the slaughter place for a sweet fragrance, as it is a remembering portion to Jehovah. And as I was going through this, and we could keep going through the slides, but respectively, we have those to our own use. But I want to emphasize on that, because the beauty of it is the imagery of realizing that we are that set apart nation, the royal priesthood that have been given assignments to go forth and bring that offering, that grain offering to the Father, because he has been instilling his word in us in the same way that Yosef was tasked with the duty to instill the grain in the times that the people would need it. Because respectfully, he did it with great wisdom that the Father gave him by going throughout the cities. And the surrounding cities had the grain fields that would use them as collection points. And respectively, all the way down here in Bureau, Louisiana, we are a silo being filled with grain. Amen. For the time that is coming to whenever we need to distribute to those that are going to be looking for the word. Because there are genuine people that are hungry for the word that have not yet been exposed to it the way that the Father wants it to be exposed to. I ran out of breath. So, with that being said, and with all due respect, that is our greatest task and our assignment, is being able to receive this bread, receive this grain, download into us, so that way those that are going to probably currently going through the same burdens that each and every one of us have been experiencing or have experienced, We'll be able to witness to them on a personal level and be able to give them their portion. Because each and every one of us as individuals, we're different. We think different. We act different. We have different personalities. Some are more inclined to one thing, some are inclined to others. But I guarantee you, the first real quiet, pretty awkward, not knowing how to function, been through some things, person that I get to speak with, we're going to connect. And I get to share that grain offering. I get to share that grain portion. And that's what the Father wants from us. And I pray that there was something tonight that was really able to take hold and take root. And if I said anything prior or out of what the Father had intended, I pray that doesn't take root. But I'm thankful for each and every one of you, and Shabbat Shalom.